For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program. I'm your host, Rohan Chakravarthy. With me today, I've got a very special guest, 24/7's Nick Osen. We're going to be breaking down spring ball, talking offense, defense, the main takeaways, and a lot of our standout players because we've been there almost every single day this spring. So stay tuned right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Badgers Talk. As I said, I'm your host, Rohan Chakravarthy, and with me today, I got a special guest, my guy, Nick Osen. Nick, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, it's been a really good week, and I've been looking forward to chopping it up a little bit with you, talking some ball, as we do really like every day at spring ball, which is a pretty cool thing as well.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, obviously spring ball is going on for the Badgers currently started right before spring break, March 22nd. Me and Nick, we both weren't there. We were at the NCAA tournament, but we've been there the last 2 weeks. Spring practice number 6 just wrapped up earlier today, and I mean it's been an eventful 6 practices to say the least. Let's just get right into it. Let's break it down. Obviously, the talk is always going to be about the offense. That's everybody's kind of main look. When you're looking at the offense, especially with the way they've kind of installed things so far, what's kind of some of the takeaways you've had about the offense overall so far?
Yeah, my friend. You know, I've got a pretty big three. I think we'll start with obviously the most important position really in sports, and that's quarterback. I think this week, especially, like you mentioned, Rohan, you know, fifth and sixth practices. So the fourth and fifth that we were able to get to, obviously, since basketball. And I think they've been two of the best for the quarterbacks. I'd say specifically Tyler Van Dyke. I think he's really shown to settle in a little bit more, kind of have a better command, certainly feel for the offense. And both Van Dyke and Locke have actually thrown just some gorgeous, you know, footballs this week, whether it was a couple deep balls, we'll say 35 to 40 plus range, as well as just some kind of goal line red zone type work that we saw specifically on Thursday, I think, in terms of just threading the needle in some similar 6-on-7, 7-on-7 condensed situations. So I'd say quarterbacks, I was encouraged this week. You know, I'm going to hold off on running backs because I think we'll specifically get into a couple players. But then one note that I feel like I have been, you know, tweeting, I've been writing about it. I feel really confident. And that would be the wide receivers room. I think you know me well enough, my friend. I'm not somebody that buys into the hype, but now seeing this in person and specifically the redshirt freshman, Tretch Kekayuna, I'm really, really impressed. And to think that he's got the potential, of course, to be one of the two best, but to think that he's just, you know, option number 3, 4, 5 right now in that offense as a whole, I think we're really going to get a better idea of what Phil Longo envisioned with the offense this fall.
I think you bring away, you know, two great points. We'll break those down individually. Let's start with the quarterbacks, because as you mentioned, that's the talk of the town. The Badgers brought in, you know, a guy on a graduate student, Tyler Van Dyke, second straight year they brought in a graduate guy. And many presumed he would come in and take over the starting job, just as you saw last year. Tanner Mordecai came in the spring, the clear number one. But a couple of things have changed, you know, since then. Number one, last year when you saw that quarterback room, it was a bunch of redshirt freshmen who had never played before alongside Mordecai. Braden Locke had never taken a snap in a game. Nick Evers had never taken a snap in a game. Miles Burkett, minimal snaps, you know. And then obviously Marshall Howe, who was the walk-on, was also there. You had a crowded room, but a room with a lot of intrigue, but not much experience. Mordecai, clear starter. This year, Locke's coming off a year where he played in six games, you know, had a couple of starts under his belt, and a guy who, when he was brought into the program, a guy who Phil Longo definitely had an affinity for, given his prior experience at Michigan State under Mike Leach. And so now you're seeing this kind of 1-2 battle. I think also Mordecai's leadership was big last year. And one thing we've heard from the coaches is both of these guys are trying to grow into that role as a leader. We haven't really maybe seen as much of an established leader with these two guys coming in and battling. But you see this 1-2 dynamic kind of splitting reps. But I agree with the takeaway that you kind of had. I think the last two practices, especially number 5 and number 6, have been fairly definitive in the sense that Tyler Van Dyke has started to settle in. And I want to equate this to a quote that Luke Fickell said. He said, practices 1-4, more install, you're getting your feet wet. But practices 5-9 is really where you truly see where your team is currently. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're kind of seeing Van Dyke settle back in, be kind of the quarterback you expect to be after a shaky day in practice number four on Saturday of this past week. Cool now, you're seeing, you know, both guys kind of have their specific moments on every day as they split the reps.
Yeah, you know, I'm completely with you. I think it's a really good point. I mean, obviously, we can expect that, you know, from head coach Luke Fickell knowing about his team. But I think it's really good, you know, for us in the media to break down, but also the fans to hear. I think that's a really, you know, kind of specific timeline, which I really like, because then obviously you expect, you know, practices 10 through 15 to really be kind of fine tuning, maybe figuring out a little bit more depth chart, rotational aspects, even though it is just spring ball, at least some of the earlier stages of that. But, you know, I got the sense that I don't envy the situation that Tanner Mordecai was in last year, and I certainly don't for Tyler Van Dyke, because just as humans, even if you are a really good natural leader, which I think that Tanner certainly was, and I think that Van Dyke has the potential to be, so we've certainly kind of seen it here and there, at least on the field. It's a tough spot, right, to come in. You know, you don't really know anybody other than maybe a player connection here and there, okay, a couple coaches potentially. But, like, these guys, a lot of the guys have been here. You know, they've been friends. They've kind of gone through the hills and the valleys of this team last year, specifically in what, you know, a season that finished with some high notes for sure, but some up and downs early on. And they were kind of in that together. So I think just as a human, Rohan, that's a tough spot for Van Dyke. You know, being around him a little bit, we obviously got to speak with him. I don't think he's maybe naturally looking to be, you know, it was specific that Coach Fickell or Coach Longo said they want to get him out of his shell a little bit. And I think that just might be who he is as a person, which is certainly not a bad thing. But once you get into the room, you get comfortable, you play like he has these last couple of days in a really good way. I think that earns some respect. I think you show the work you're putting in. By the way, I think this whole quarterback room is really putting in a ton of time. You know, we heard things about Braden Locke last year. I get the sense that really this whole room is doing that. And I think that Longo's pretty happy with that right now. But as a whole, you know, it's a battle right now. I don't think that's as bad of a thing. I've said that on a couple other shows. I think it's only going to help both quarterbacks and the offense long term. But you certainly kind of would hope with his experience and maybe high-end potential for Van Dyke to potentially see some growth coming up here in these next 3 weeks.
I agree. I think that you're looking to see especially that growth. I think there are a couple of intriguing things as well when you talk about the quarterback room. Not only are they settled in, but if you're talking about the comparison of Van Dyke and Mordecai coming in, you can debate who had the more talent, who had the stronger arm, all of those kind of things. But Tanner Mordecai came in off two really strong years at SMU where he had significant production, whereas Tyler Van Dyke's coming in on two up and down years at Miami where he was in and out of the starting lineup as he battled injuries and things like that, and now is looking to regain that 2021 form of himself in a similar offense after going through a couple of coordinators, you know. So it's a bit of a different circumstance in the sense that mentally as well, Van Dijk is trying to get back there to being the guy that he was. He does seem like, you know, a guy to have a little bit of swagger to him. It seems like he plays better as he gets into a flow of things.
Yeah,
sure. He's mistake prone at times. You'll see the occasional interception and things like that, as we've seen a couple of times through the last few practices. But I think that you're right. You're hoping that he gets into a rhythm. And I think that Phil Longo said it best in that the play on the field is really what's going to dictate who's going to be the starter. And by the end of spring ball, I think the Badgers wanted to kind of know or have a good sense going into the fall who is kind of leading in that clubhouse and who they might divert their attention to with the extra install coming in the fall ahead of, you know, the regular season. So I do think that there are a couple of different things. The one thing I want to point out, Nick, I know you weren't there last year, but one thing I found curious is last year, like I said, there was a clear one and a clear two, and that didn't leave too much room for the threes because Wisconsin had a deep quarterback room last year with Marshall Howe, Nick Evers, Miles Burkett, and you know, you had Cole LeCrew in there as well. But you had four guys, primarily three guys, battling for reps. And what Wisconsin did was kind of had one guy take over a majority of the reps that day, or whoever was the best in the classroom that day took over a majority of the reps. The thing I like this spring, at least in terms of trying to get your guys opportunities, Mature and Evers have really split the three reps fairly evenly. I know there was one day where Evers really didn't get a single team rep, but you've seen Mature and Evers split the three reps. And Fickell has said it, experience equals, you know, that's the best way for you to learn. And I think that that's something that I've seen an improvement in their spring plan to try and get all of the guys in the room that they expect to be in the rotation some reps.
Yeah, you know, obviously I wasn't around last year, but you had kind of mentioned that to me. And I really like what the Badgers have been doing this year. I mean, we both know, obviously covering some recruiting too. You know, we do plenty of that within our positions. Like there are some high hopes for Mabry Matoyer, you know, long term. And with Nick Evers, like when we have seen some of his reps, he's really shown some flashes. And, you know, it's been cool to see, like, obviously he's been spending a lot of time with Tyler Van Dyke. You know, they've shared some things on social media. They seem to be really close. Tyler mentioned that a couple times with us in the kind of media availability as well. And I like that in a room, that type of chemistry. And I think reps are, you know, so important. Like, do you expect when we get to August and September for the threes to get as many reps as the one? No, because that would obviously take away from some of the game prep. But right now, I think it's very advantageous, obviously, for those individual players, but also the offense as a whole. And as we saw last year, a really unfortunate thing, or certainly, you know, you're a huge NFL person. You just look to the NFL and injuries. Like, quarterbacks have been seeming to get injured at just a crazy rate recently. We know what happens in the game of football. So to then have at least two more guys ready, kind of up to par, you know, up to the knowledge that you need and ready to go, I think is very beneficial for the offense.
I definitely agree. And we'll see, you know, we'll see as the fall trickles along how much Evers or even Mature in that stage can kind of get up to speed to the level that Locke is and the level that Van Dyke is. But good signs so far. Let's...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Flip over, though. The other group that you mentioned, the receivers, I want to include the skill position players as a whole, but we can start at receiver. Talked about Trech Kekahuna, a guy who's kind of really started to emerge, a guy who, if you had watched Wisconsin at the end of last year, you were thinking this guy's going to be someone to watch, a guy a lot of players kind of had mentioned by name. Trech, he is starting to ball out. And I'm going to say this. Will Pauling was the guy who, from the first day of spring ball last year, that was the guy who I thought that's going to be Wisconsin's top receiver. The way he moved was different. The way he was just able to flash, be it in route running, be it in space, be it even in contested catches, Will Pauling had a different edge to him, clearly ended up being Wisconsin's one. I want to hear what you have to say about this, because I honestly think there's a there's a true chance, depending on how the quarterback's kind of their tendencies are, that Kekahuna ends up being receiver number two in terms of receiving yards, despite being the number two slot option for Wisconsin.
Wow, that's a really interesting point. So I'm not sure. Here's what I'll say. I think that there is the opportunity for him to potentially be that number two in terms of like targets or catches, mm-hmm. because I do see him as more of obviously that slot player. Now, normally you think, you know, maybe like slot guys, okay, they're not going as deep, or, you know, maybe they're catching it 5-6 yards deep, tackled 9 or 10. But as we have seen with this young player, when he gets the rock in his hands, he was literally – there was a play that we saw earlier this week. He literally just stopped on a dime and made multiple defenders within the ones and twos at, you know, at practice right now among many guys, just completely missed. Like, I wrote about it in my notebook. It was almost as if we were, you know, playing NFL blitz or, like, some Madden-type stuff, because it really was. And, again, I'm not – I do tend to approach reporting with – you know, in this whole job with like optimism and things like that, but not really the hype factor. And this kid, you know, Tretch is really showing all of this potential already. So I totally see that as well. I also want to note CJ Williams. Again, I think this wideout group is a deeper spot. I do think there's some high-end talent now too, but he was somebody that a lot of fans seem to be asking me about during the season, asking myself and my colleague Evan. And I think Williams has, you know, there's maybe been a day where he's been like the best, but I think consistently, Rohan, he has looked the best that I have seen in my time back in Madison. I think that he's just seemed to clean things up. He's made some really good contested catches. I know that a couple of really excited Coach Kenny Guyton and the rest of the wide receiver room could say a similar thing about Quincy Burroughs. He had one of the best plays all of camp so far. But, you know, I've been really impressed with that room, and I'm just really intrigued how it all kind of shakes out, because I don't think it's a spot where you can only play three or four guys, of course. However, there is only one football. And in a running back room, too, that's going to eat up a lot of the time and kind of potential, we'll see how that looks. But just overall, Pauling's going to get his, and Tretch, he's here and he's ready to make an impact.
I think that that's, you know, a good point. To talk about Tretch already, I'm pretty high on Tretch. I think that probably is going to be pretty hard to change. But I've been a Bryson Green guy since he got to Madison. Obviously, last year wasn't the biggest year for Bryson Green. But as if you guys have been, you know, reading the stuff up on Bucky's fifth quarter, I've made the point that I didn't think Green was utilized in a role that best suited his skill set last year as much. I thought that, you know, especially with him being as good of a contested catcher and a deep ball, a deep guy, you didn't see him get many, you know, deep passes last year. You saw him kind of on curls, kind of on routes maybe within 10 yards, where you're asking him then to kind of come back to the ball as the Badgers are going with shorter plays, but also trying to up the tempo. I think this year, though, with the two quarterbacks you have, you're seeing them try to push the ball down the field a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Van Dyke especially, he's a guy who he seems to like the outside of the numbers. He struggles sometimes maybe inside the numbers where he's trying to read the defense in the clutter, obviously, with the linebackers and the safeties and everybody involved. But outside the numbers seems to be more of his bread and butter, where he's able to utilize that strong arm of his and get the ball to where it needs to be. And if you're looking at an outside receiver, Bryson Green's the guy right now who's definitely been the most consistent. Don't think I've seen him drop a pass in the last, especially in the last two practices. And he's starting to get his volume amped up. You know, he's made a couple of really solid catches. He had one in one-on-ones today, a one-handed grab over RJ Delancey. That was a pretty cool one in the end zone. There was one the other day where he was talking a little bit. I believe it was with Jonas Duclona, or even it was either him or Nizer Forcoron, where he made a ridiculous catch. He went up for a ball, caught it, kept one foot in bounds. You're seeing these type of plays that you expected from Bryson Green last year emerge a little bit in spring ball. So I'm intrigued definitely by the receiver room. Ultimately, I think it comes down to the quarterback. I think the quarterback play is going to determine how well the passing game goes. So you're looking to see how much growth either Braden Locke or Tyler Van Dyke, presumably the latter, can kind of go through over the next few months. But the receivers, I think you have room for optimism despite losing Chimere Dike, despite losing Skylar Bell. even a guy like Keontez Lewis, who was your starting receiver 2 years ago, you know, despite losing a couple of guys and maybe not picking up as many impact players at the position who might impact you in year one, you might have a good room still.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I mean, this was a spot, you know, a guy like Tyrell Henry was an addition. And, you know, we think that he's going to make some noise in the return game too. But outside of him, like, they didn't necessarily get anybody else in the portal at this spot. You know, I know obviously there was some talk about like a sizable outside guy or things like that, but I'm with you on Bryson Green. I think that he's got, frankly, all the talent. I think he's a potential like late day two, day three NFL type guy if he can put it all together this season and be healthy. We saw some flashes. I think it was the middle of the season and then certainly at the end in that LSU game.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've known that that potential is there. Like, I covered Big 12 football before. Obviously, I knew what he did at his previous stop. So really excited for him. I certainly know some of those grabs that you were talking about. And, you know, we talk about these top impact guys, and we didn't even really say much about, you know, I mentioned Burroughs and Benny Anthony showed a couple flashes last year. And Kyan Berry Johnson, I think, has looked a little better than we both maybe anticipated this early. Do I expect those guys to be in the top two, three wide out right now? Not necessarily, but I just mean the overall talent in this room. I've written about it, and I really stand by it. I think there's a ton of excitement there and running back specifically on that offense.
I think so, too. I mean, if you really think about it, you might have a chance to rotate five, maybe even six guys in this room on a consistent basis. Not that Wisconsin will do that necessarily, but to have that type of depth is good. And the other part about it is a majority of that depth is young. They've got eligibility remaining. So Wisconsin's room should be, you know, in a good spot to go forward. But I also want to pivot because there's another room that might be the most intriguing of all heading in or thus far in the spring. That's the running backs. Because Ches Malusi's back, he's healthy. And then you've got Tawi Walker, who in my opinion has been the most impressive back because he's gotten the most extensive workload, and he's looked really, really good through six practices so far, five of which I've been there. He looks definitely the part of an RB2. Could even see him even taking the workload if needed in certain games for sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a question, my man, that you know, Tawi Walker and Leon Lowry Jr. have probably been the two most impactful players at practices that we have really seen. I think that's pretty comfortable to say, at least in terms of highlight plays. I mean, I remember, you know, I thought pretty highly of Walker at OU. And you knew he was physical. And you knew he was a little bit shorter in terms of his size. But the burst and the punch that he has shown me at practice, including when they've really been kind of hitting, doing more than thud drill and things like that, I've been impressed. I'm really high on Malusi. I think his story's really impressive. I think he showed, actually, I know he showed a ton of that burst we were talking about just this week, specifically on Thursday. So I think just the top of that room within those two guys, I think is really high level. I think that they maybe even their skill sets, they're not totally different, but I do think they complement each other pretty well. And then we're not even talking about, you know, some guys that have either shown flashes or basically four-star running backs coming in this season that there's a lot of excitement about. So, you know, I think that's something to look ahead at. But right now, you keep those guys healthy, specifically Ches, because obviously he's had an injury history, but he had probably his best run yet of camp on Thursday. And Walker has just kind of been Mr. Consistent, you know, in between the tackles or on the outside. We've seen him even utilized a little bit in the past game. So I'm certainly intrigued by the room, like you mentioned. You lose a star in Braylon Allen, and he's set, you know, to be drafted, likely a day two guy, I think, from our conversations at least. But just from one to six, one to seven, however, you know, many guys that end up kind of being a part of this room, whether they get carries or not, I think you've got to have a ton of confidence in just where that room sits as a whole, expected to be a mix of veteran talent and some fresh incoming talent coming in.
I agree. And I mean, I've been a proponent dating back to last year. I thought Phil Longo's best part of last year with an inconsistent passing game was his run game concepts. I thought they really stood out. I think this offensive line is better served to potentially, you know, defend that or help in that run game. You're going to see Joe Brunner in there. You're going to see Jake Renfro in there. You're going, those inside concepts so far have been really good. Again, you don't necessarily know how well it'll be against other competition. Excited though about the running back room for sure, with both the O-line with the way that they're playing and the running game, because that running back room might be the deepest room when it comes to the offense, with the amount of talent that you believe could also play in a college football game on day one. Let's flip it over though to the defense, because there have been some intriguing defensive players that I thought have really stood out. Who are some of the guys who have kind of caught your eye, or some of the trends that have caught your eye so far through the first week and a half or so of spring ball?
Yeah, I think I'll have to start with the obvious one here, because this has really been kind of some of our first opportunities to see this player, and that's Leon Lowry Jr. You know, the transfer from Syracuse, man, he comes in, you know, kind of an expectation of going to make an impact, has really found some success in the pass rush before, but he had to play multiple positions at Syracuse, and now he's just locked in that outside spot. That's going to be his focus. You know, obviously, I think Coach Mitchell has done some really nice things with him, and he's been more impactful in the run game too than I maybe expected, or even getting up on the line a little bit when he needs to, getting moved around. I think that he's been, you know, terrific. I'll just quickly mention Hunter Waller's name. We all know what he can do. Obviously a future NFL guy, but I've loved the intensity that he's really brought. And, you know, I don't want to steal your thunder too much, but this is somebody that we were both excited to see here in the spring. That's defensive back RJ Delancey. I mean, he has shown more than just flashes. He's shown a lot of consistency. I think I will mention that, you know, I'm seeing some jumps in consistency from a guy like Kurt Neal. And then I will just go ahead and say, I'm not sure if it's this year or next year, but Ernest Willer, I think, is going to be an absolute stud for Wisconsin. NFL potential. I think his body's a little more physically ready than I anticipated. And I think his explosiveness is pretty solid, too, off the line from what we've seen. But in terms of guys that you figure to be very early in the rotation, I'd focus on those three or four first players that I mentioned.
I think so. Leon Lowry's the clear standout. I mean, I've even made not the declaration, but I'd say that I thought coming into camp, those two outside linebacker spots were open. I think one is currently open. I think Lowry, with the way not only that he plays in the passing game, but the way that he also plays specifically in the run game, the way that he's disciplined, holding the edge, he's physical. He's a guy who you can expect, you know, with his 6'3", 250 kind of pound frame, a guy who's now not having to deal with weight fluctuations anymore. He's a guy who you feel like can solidify in that role, and he's going to give you a good 30 to 50 snaps, playing probably 60%, 70%, whatever the snap count might be when it comes to the actual season. But he's a guy who seems like is going to be one of the most impactful transfers of all. Delancey's a good one. I mean, Delancey's a guy who I thought was going to be a player before we even saw spring ball. I watched his tape over there at Toledo. He was a guy that immediately stood out. If you talk about talent, you can make the argument Delancey is the most talented corner on the team in general, just if you're talking about talent. The question now comes to, where does Delancey play? Because Wisconsin does like a bigger guy playing at that boundary position where you're pressing. Delancey, the one thing that you can say maybe knocking against him, how well is he going to fare against bigger receivers in contested catch situations? You don't necessarily know with his arm length, with the way that he's only 5'11". He's a good corner. You question maybe that aspect of it. So maybe that's where you might involve him more in the slot. That might be the expectation for Delancey. And that kind of, we'll see as spring goes along, whether he ends up getting reps in that role or not. But those two are big. I mean, John Pius, obviously the other transfer at outside linebacker. He's a guy who stood out more so in pass rushing situations, played more with the second team, but he's, you know, he had a disruptive day, made my standout list today, had a couple of really nice plays. I think his Coach Matt Mitchell, he said that his get off might be the best of anybody on the team right now. It seems like that. He's got good juice. He's got good frame. I think that that room is going to be one of the more improved rooms. And then the last guy I'll mention is Jaheim Thomas, because Jaheim Thomas has really started to stand out. And I think he might be really one of the only three down players for the Badgers. He's a guy who can play on the inside. He's a guy who moves well at 245 pounds. And then a guy who could also come off the edge. Tell me about Jaheim Thomas. What have you kind of seen from him through the first few practices? Because I know you've also kind of seen a couple of the highlight plays as well.
Yeah, you started to see me, smile there a little bit. I want to give credit to Jaheim Thomas, you know, Coach Trussell, Luke Fickell, and really this entire linebacker group. I mean, I don't think that there is going to be, you know, a position where you see just more of a jump in high-level play and consistency from one year to the next than linebackers. I mean, I think of guys like, you know, CJ Getz, and Coach Mitchell mentioned him as well. Obviously, he was an outside guy, but good player for Wisconsin, left absolutely all out there. Was a really good leader, loved getting to speak with him. But, you know, there was talk of, like, you get to the fourth quarter and he's played. I mean, I did PFF, you know, snap counts all the time, like 62, 63, 59 snaps, like in pass rushing spots. That's obviously potentially going to be, you know, hard to overcome when you're tired and that late in the game. So now you've got many more bodies, and not only do you have these bodies, but like some of probably the best players on the entire defense are going to be in some of these groups. I think I felt, you know, maybe a little validated after I had seen Pius's tape, and I felt like he had the best just natural pass rushing ability. It was nice to hear some of that from Coach Mitchell. And we haven't even mentioned, you know, a guy that maybe people were most excited about in Tackett Curtis, or I personally think this player is taking a big jump, Jake Chaney. Like that room, they've legitimately got on both the inside and outside, like four guys you could see starting on some pretty dang good college football teams around the Midwest and around the country. So I think it's going to end up, really being beneficial. I haven't gotten the sense that anybody's like whining or complaining about, you know, not lining up with the ones all the time or anything like that, because I think they understand the idea is you're hopefully going to rotate 3-4 guys at each of those spots, have fresh legs in the fourth quarter, and just be a playmaking unit, Rohan, that I'm not sure we saw as much as Wisconsin is used to in the last 20 years.
I mean, the linebacker position is one that you've kind of seen a significant amount of growth overall. You know, you talk about that group. I mean, you pointed out Jake Chaney even returning. You have two veterans now, potentially leading the group, and then you've got two really intriguing young guys. I think Tackett Curtis, his development might be more crucial in 25. You might see him get, you know, the brunt of his, like in terms of his biggest jump might be in 25, but regardless, you're going to rotate probably 3-4 guys in that group. And you, the point is Wisconsin has a great succession plan now where these two guys, in terms of Chaney and Thomas, they could be gone after this year. And now you have guys that are already ready, have seen experience as freshmen that are ready to kind of step in the role after already rotating in this year. This linebacker room tremendously changed, and I think it was much, much better. It's going to look much better, arguably the most improved room of the entire, obviously of the entire team, and definitely of the defense. Want to end today, though, talking about the secondary and looking at that safety position, because that's a position where, you know, you talk about the depth, and that's another deep position on the room. Kamoi Latu recently got injured. Luke Fickell, designated as a shoulder injury, might not be back for a good portion of spring ball. What have you kind of seen from the safety room and also of the cornerback room that has kind of intrigued you so far?
Yeah, a player that, you know, I really had high hopes for, and I still do, that the tone there was more of just a transitional tone, but a guy that I really am intrigued by. I think we just got the sense of his potential last year a little bit. To me, is Austin Brown. Now he's been lining up in kind of a couple different spots. You know, I think he showed, at least in the LSU matchup in the bowl game, that, you know, he has the propensity to potentially play a little bit more like inside and more of kind of that versatile corner spot rather than just at safety. You know, when you're looking at a little bit of the 5-5 there, I've been impressed with Owen Arnett's physicality, quite honestly. He's a guy that we haven't talked about a ton, but that I've liked. And then just talking more versatility, Jonas Duclona, I know, has made several plays. And Braden Moore, is somebody that you're going to hear his name should be a decent amount. I think that he really showed flashes. I would say two out of the last three practices in terms of what I saw. I had him as a standout earlier this week. I think several people really did. So, yeah, you know, there aren't a ton of maybe wide open areas in the defense still, just because you're starting to see, you know, kind of who can really make an impact. Nothing, of course, is official, but that's a group of like three or four names that I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a couple of those guys starting raw.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, this room, it was deep last year. You had Moeller, you had Brown, you had Latu. And the thing is, a lot of these guys are returning. And you have some intriguing young guys. Braden Moore being the guy who I'm mainly kind of thinking about as one of those redshirt freshmen who could take the next step. Again, it depends on how the rep count is going to be divvied. But I think Wisconsin's defense is looking a lot different this year. And I think this was the plan Wisconsin kind of had all along. Mike Tressel acknowledged last year might not have been the year that they kind of, wanted. They probably didn't get to their strengths soon enough. This year, though, it seems like the strengths are kind of to show out in spring ball. You're seeing a lot of different players kind of shine, and I think that that's a good thing for Wisconsin.
And, you know, we talk about these guys, and we haven't even gotten to speak about a couple either expected starters or, like, major contributors. Obviously, Rico Hallman will be starting, and, you know, a guy like Zachman, too, that I think really made some plays last year, specifically in that kind of final half, four or five games of the season. So I think, you know, as much as we focused on the offense, and that is always just kind of easy and fun to talk about, I'm not sure about you, man, but I think that really the backbone and the identity of this team, at least to kind of base its floor for the season, is going to be the defense. And I think just the overall high-end talent, some of those returning guys, and just the increase in speed on that defensive unit, I think is going to be a blast to follow.
I agree. I definitely think so. The speed is, it's clear. I mean, you can listen to any presser: speed, length, athleticism. Those were the three main goals of this offseason. Wisconsin, I think, has improved in all of those categories. I think that that's a good sign so far. But, Nick, as always, I mean, I appreciate your time. First time on this show, we talked about the offense. We talked about the defense. Before we end today's show, I want to ask you, overall takeaway, what are you kind of looking forward to over the last portion of spring ball for this Badgers team?
Yeah, I really want to dive in a little bit further in the quarterback room. I think, you know, that's an easy one for me. And then to just kind of, you know, continue to monitor those safety spots or like the second corner, you know, things like that, that just maybe aren't as obvious or as easy to just kind of pay attention to, but just to see who really develops and maybe shines in some of those areas. I think I'll also mention the wideout room just because I still feel like that room's just oozing with talent, which is a really good thing. But those would probably be my top two or three spots. And then, yeah, you know, it's been awesome to be on here with you, and hopefully won't be my last time on Badgers Talk with you.
Now, I'll have to talk to the higher-ups on the program. I don't really know if that's going to be the case. We'll come to an executive decision later. But, Nick, as always, I appreciate talking with you daily about Wisconsin, you know, at spring ball, and appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me, and we'll catch you at practice next week.
Oh, yeah. For those of you guys still tuned in, we've got a couple of things. This one's going to be up, I believe, on Friday, April 12th. If you haven't seen it yet, interview with Tanner Bordellini, the pre-draft interview that I got to have with him. That's going to be up as well, and that'll be published on the site. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we're going to have another episode sometime soon. Stay tuned with all the spring ball talk.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.